What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of My New Life. My name is Ethan Ibarra. It's episode number 3. Today, I have a good friend. His name is Malachi Wright. He goes to Cal State. That's basically how I know him. But yeah, Malachi Wright.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me, bro.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for hopping in. Thanks for, you know, joining. The reason why I wanted, when I started, I always had this idea of, let's bring Malachi into this, because he actually suffered from a TBI as well. So we're going to actually be discussing that, really looking into his recovery process and just his life afterwards, and how he's gotten back to, you know, his old self, and not even his old self, a new life. And so that works perfectly with this podcast, A New Life. Crazy. Just before we get started and, you know, talking with this, the thing that I want to do when I bring a new guest in is start off with two truths and a lie, just to, you know, get me going, get you guys going. So Malachi, mm-hmm. Let's go. What are two truths and a lie?
All right. So I'm a Patriot fan.
Patriot fan. Okay.
I love Mexican food.
Loves Mexican food.
And I'm Puerto Rican.
And you're Puerto Rican. So, Patriots fan, you love Mexican food, and you're Puerto Rican. I know you like Mexican food. I know you do. The Patriots fan and Puerto Rican. I gotta think about that. I don't know you well enough to say that you're a Patriots fan, but I think you're Puerto Rican. But what's gonna happen with this question is we're gonna see. I'll do mine just so we could think about it. I'll do mine. So mine is, just break it right on the spot. I can't hear out of my left ear after my injury. I am an Arsenal fan. I mean, it's kind of given. But the last one is, I am red-green colorblind.
I'm going to go with the last one as a lie.
Okay, last one. I'm going to say the first one is a lie for you, but we're not going to find out until the end of this episode. So if you guys want to find out what this answer is, you got to wait till the end. So that means you got to listen to this whole thing. So I kind of trapped you guys, but not really, because you guys joined this video. So, welcome. And those are two truths and a lie. Better figure it out during this, this podcast. And Hopefully we say some things during this that could kind of get you to, you know what the right answer is. But those are the two truths and a lie. You guys are going to figure it out at the end. Again, before we get started on our talk, please leave a like and subscribe to this video. Please, leave comments about what you guys want to see, just to let us know that, you know, you guys are supporting this, and it makes me, you know, it makes me feel like, okay, they're really listening and they're really enjoying it. So again, don't forget to leave a like and subscribe to this channel. Thank you so much. So let's just get right into it. So Malachi, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, man. So I'm from Orange County originally. I moved down to Vista, San Diego County about 3 years ago. I obviously committed to Cal State for soccer on a scholarship. So yeah, man, I've been here for 3 years, just doing my best, going to school, being a student athlete, working part time. So yeah, man, I'm living a good life right now.
Hey, man, that's sick. So what got you to, you know, choose Cal State as the school that you want to go to?
It's crazy, because at first, when I first was looking for schools to go to, I was actually gonna almost commit to Cal State Northridge.
Okay.
I think that's up in north in LA.
Yeah.
So, but this was during COVID, so COVID kind of, I don't know, it kind of ruined, not ruined, but I wouldn't say ruined, but like it kind of changed things a little bit.
Yeah.
So I was fortunate enough because the time I was playing for Strikers, and during that time, my coach at the time, Sean Ganey, he has a really good good friendship and a connection with my current coach, Ron Pulver. So Sean told Ron about me, and Ron texted me, wanted to chat. And, yeah, we've just been – we talked there, and we talked, and he liked me. And so, yeah, I committed to Cal State San Marcos.
Sweet. That's that's such sick. How you liking San Marcos?
I love San Marcos, man.
It's a vibe, huh?
Yeah.
It's so nice. I tell everyone I wish we could take it back to like early 2000s when no one knew San Marcos, because now people are trying to come to San Marcos and it's getting really, really busy.
Yeah.
And so I always tell them, like, let's just take it back. And no one knew San Marcos and, you know, take it back to that time. But I'm glad that, you know, you decided to come to San Marcos and, you know, you're loving it here. And it's so amazing that, you know, you decided to come to San Marcos, because let's be real, we probably wouldn't know each other if you didn't go to San Marcos, if you didn't come to this area. So that's huge. That's huge. So what are you studying at Cal State?
Yeah, so I'm currently studying human development.
Okay.
People always ask me what I want to do with that, but honestly, human development, you can honestly really do anything with it. You can be a school counselor, a teacher, a social worker, anything. But for me, I'm at school right now because of soccer. And so I picked human development because I feel like, for me, I'm very I'm very empathetic with other people, so I can tend to understand how people are and how they are. So I just wanted to learn how us humans, how we kind of develop at like a young stage in life, growing up. I'm studying human development.
Sweet. That's sweet. No, I mean, for me, I kind of agree with you in the sense of when I went to the first college, which was University of St. Catherine, the only reason why I really wanted to go was two reasons. One, the coaching staff was absolutely amazing, and I'm blessed that they decided to take a 5'5 goalkeeper in college, which is it's a light flex for me, so I'll take it. But I didn't know what I wanted to study. I kind of went in and I saw, like, at first I wanted to do something in regards to being like a sports commentator, because I always thought that was so amazing, like just going to games and like talking about what you see. So I really wanted to do it, but when I went to USK, they didn't have that kind of specialty, and they just had business. And I didn't really want to do kinesiology, because when I was in high school, I didn't really care about the human body like that. So I just picked business. But really, the only reason why I decided to go to USK is because I was playing soccer.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, maybe you feel this way too, but that's basically how we lived our youth career.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just going to school and playing soccer and basically having... In the sense, of course, we say that we're student athletes, but really in our back of our minds, we're thinking, now we're players first and then we're students, you know? So it's really cool how, you know, you went to Cal State and you had something that you wanted to study and it was there and you're going for it. So that's huge.
Yeah, I think also too, like, honestly, like, kind of looking back at it, I'm very grateful that I'm at Cal State San Marcos for the new teammates that I've the friendships that I've built. I have an amazing girlfriend, Janelle. I met her last year. It's all these things are really, like, I guess, mind-blowing, because I don't really see myself at another school, you know. I'm very committed, and I love San Marcos and my team, so
that's
I wouldn't want to be anywhere else but San Marcos.
That's right. San Marcos all the way. Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's huge. So with that being said, you were on the soccer team. You are still on the soccer team. You're going to Cal State. And so what, you know, we're trying to discuss about today is your journey. Because Malachi, with me, as well as me, he suffers from a TBI. And so I really wanted him to come on this podcast because, one, you know, he has a story that he wants to tell and, you know, share to everyone. And two is, you know, he's a student athlete still. You know, he's not just a student athlete before his accident. Nah, he's still going. He's still killing it in his games. And so I wanted to bring him on just to, you know, have him discuss that. And, you know, for me, I had to stop, but that was a personal choice for me. But Malachi, he wanted to keep on going. And I'm, you know, I'm blessed that, you know, you're still going, you're still doing strong. And I feel like it's a good lesson for, you know, your story is a good lesson for people that are going through it right now, just to, you know, let them know it's not over. You know, it's really what you want to do. So right now, let's talk about your injury, you know, the five W's. Yeah. When, where, who, what, what's happening? I think that's what they told me when I was in school. So Malachi, when, where, who, what happened?
Yeah, so I'm gonna kind of take it back all the way to the first week of the first day of the week. So I think it happened on a Sunday. It started, I was working actually.
What year was it?
2023 of summer. It was in May, kind of going into June.
Yeah.
So on a Sunday I was working and, it was weird. I felt like this little light headache. So I didn't think anything of it. I was like, oh, it's just probably just a little headache. It'll go away. So it was weird because throughout the day, throughout my shift, my headache was just getting worse. And so I had to tell my manager, like, hey, like my head is hurting really bad. Like, is it cool if I go home? He's like, he's cool. He was cool about it. So I went home, and when I got home, my head was really hurting. I had called my mom on the phone. I was like, hey, like, my mom, like, my head is hurting. And as I'm walking up the stairs, man, like, my mom opens the door for me, and I throw up kind of in front of the door. I just went to the bathroom, and I was just, you know, letting it out. And then a couple of days, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, my head was just not getting any better. It was just getting worse and worse. I tried everything, ice packs, Advil, medicine. And my mom gets migraines, so she was trying to help me.
Okay.
Kind of how she treats herself with a headache. And nothing worked. So on a Thursday, my mom had went to the gym in the morning, and I was up, but my mom came back, and she found me unconscious in my room. And when she found me, I was unconscious, and she had woken me up, and she asked me, it's crazy because she asked me at this moment if I wanted to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
And I thank God that I said yes, because if I would have said no, I probably wouldn't still be here right now. Because the only reason why I would say no is because I'm an athlete, so I'm used to pain.
Yeah.
So I have high pain tolerance.
Yeah.
But this pain was not even close to being, I guess, near high. It was like, it was just super like extreme pain, you know?
Yeah, something that you've never felt.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, and I told my mom, like, yes, like I feel like I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
So she drove me to the hospital, and I don't really remember because I think I was trying to sleep in the car. So when we got there, I got checked in. They checked me in, and they were saying they had to do CT scans on me and my head, so just to see like what's going on. Because my body was just giving out. I couldn't really walk, so my mom had to help me kind of walk. So yeah, I got there, man, and we were just waiting on the surgeon to get there. So when she got there, I guess she saw me, and I was just in a state of mind where I was like, I was just out of it, you know. My body was giving out, and my eyes were just shut. And I guess when she got there, she told everybody, like, hey, like what is everybody doing? Like, do you not see him? Like, he's literally gonna die. Like, and I guess she told my mom, like, I need you to sign this paper, because if you don't sign it, I need to get in his head right now or he's gonna die. So my mom obviously, you know, had to sign the paper. So it was weird, bro. I don't really remember anything at that time. But long story short, kind of in that moment, they had to cut my hair, kind of parted my hair. I guess they drilled my head open to release the pressure, because the pressure was so, the surgeon said that my head was so big to where like it it was like a balloon and it could have popped at any moment.
Yeah.
And either I could have, it either could have popped and I could have either had severe brain damage or died.
Yeah.
So kind of looking back at it is like, wow, like God is so good, because it's like everything that has happened in that time, it was perfect, you know?
Yeah.
My mom took me at the right time, the perfect time.
Yeah, she got back home.
Yeah, no, she stayed with me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you say she went to the gym and then came back and
yeah,
saw you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She went to the gym, she came back, and, like, and it's crazy, too, because I live to a closer hospital.
Okay.
So I went to Scripps in Sanitas.
Okay.
That's kind of a drive. Like, maybe that's, like, maybe 25 minutes from where I live. And the hospital near me is Tri-City. So that's like a 5-10 minute drive for me. So, and I say that because at Tri-City, they don't have any neurosurgeons at all. So if my mom were to take me there that day / night to treat me, I wouldn't be here because they don't have a neurosurgeon or those specialties over there. So it's crazy because kind of going back, my mom has a friend at church who actually works at Scripps in the baby section.
Yeah.
And I guess my mom remembered a conversation that they had together. And she was telling my mom that she works at Scripps in the baby section.
Mm-hmm.
And if we ever have an emergency or need anything, to go to Scripps in Sanitas where she works at. So my mom remembered that conversation, and so that's why she took me to Scripps.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, bro.
No, my story kind of is similar in the sense of after the first responders picked me up from my accident after getting hit, they took me to Palomar Hospital in Escondido. And on that day, the neurosurgeon, Dr. Jaswani, he was there just because, like, he doesn't work there. He was just there that day just to help out. Yeah. And I'm so blessed, just like how you were saying, I'm so blessed that he was there on that day. He could have been there any other day, but he was there on that day. And I'm so blessed because, like you said, I agree. That's the reason why I'm still here.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, certain things work out for random reasons in our lives, but for the best, they honestly, sometimes it means so much to us, you know, that, and we don't even think about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's crazy.
Uh-huh.
That is, how long were you in the hospital for?
So I was in the ICU for 38 days, almost 40 days, bro.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how was your, you know, your mental ability through that, those 38 days?
But I can't even, but kind of thinking back at it, like, my mental, my emotional, my physical, it was super, super low. Like, like we were talking about earlier, like, I was just talking slow all the time.
Yeah.
Because I was under a lot of medication.
Yeah.
Hard medication for my pain. So I was just always out of it. But for me, like, a Bible verse that stuck with me throughout the hospital is Psalm 30 verse 2. And it says, Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. And I always pray that because he did heal me. I seeked God and he healed me. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
So, yeah, I mean, the mental, the physical, the emotional was just very draining.
Yeah.
And plus I was just on hard medication, so I didn't really want to do anything.
Yeah.
Just sleep, you know.
Like, with that being said, when did you start to pick up consciousness when you're in the hospital? Because for me, I don't really remember my first 2 weeks in the hospital. And then I think the one thing that I remember, like, vividly was I'm trying to think. I think it was asking my dad if he could get me coffee and bring it when he comes in. Because for some, like, when I was conscious, I was into getting some coffee. I was into telling my dad, hey, dad, when you come in, bring me a cup of coffee. He's like, I got you. When were you able to pick up your consciousness and, you know, really know what was happening when you're in the hospital?
I think I think that night,
yeah.
Like I said, like they drilled my head. I don't remember that because they numbed my head and I was out of it.
Yeah.
But the only thing I remember really was just waking up in the hospital bed with a oxygen mask on yeah. my face, and I was kind of confused. I was like where am I at? You yeah. know, and I asked my mom like what happened, and she told me, and like honestly, bro, I thought going to the hospital, like I thought they were just gonna give me pills and medication to make yeah. my head better, and I was just gonna walk out of there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but that was not the case.
No, not at all.
So yeah, I asked my mom like, "Where am I at?" And she's like, "Oh, you're at the hospital." And I was like, "What?" And then yeah, she told me the news. I had a cyst in my head, and yeah, that was really surprising. I was not expecting that to happen. To yeah, me. Yeah.
No, like now that you say that. I remember waking up in my bed and looking at my mom and saying, "Where am I?"
Yeah.
Like, and I had no idea. And she was like, "Ethan, you've been here 2 weeks." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "I've been here for 2 weeks and I had no idea yeah. that this was happening." Mm-hmm. It's a big, you know, slap to the face when you wake up and you hear those things. You're kind of like, "What the heck?"
Yeah.
Like, that means for 2 weeks, at least for me in my stance, and like for you as well, you missed out on those 2 weeks in yeah. your life, uh-huh. you know? And I'm not saying, "Oh, I needed those 2 weeks or else I'm not going to be happy anymore." No,
yeah.
like they worked on me and they fixed, you know, helped and, you know, worked on me in those 2 weeks. And, you know, I'm blessed that the doctors and all the nurses and everyone helped me out with that. But, mm-hmm. you know, those 2 weeks we were just unconscious. And mm-hmm. I how many weeks was it for you?
I was only unconscious maybe for like a day or two.
A day or two.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice for you.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of woke up a little earlier than I did, yeah. but, you know, hey, we woke up, you yeah. know, and that's huge. That's yeah. absolutely huge. Yeah. So, with that being said, another question that I have for you is tell me your recovery process. No, tell me, you know, what the doctors did and what the PTs and the OTs mm-hmm. and the speech, what they did with you when you were in the hospital, not even when you're out, when you're in.
Yeah, so I think for me in the hospital, I had a lot of physical therapy. Yeah. Honestly, just getting up and going outside
yeah.
to walk. But I think my first maybe a couple weeks, I couldn't really walk, so they had to like carry me in like a wheelchair to go outside.
Yeah.
But for physical, cognitive and speech, they did a lot of those for me, like a lot. Like,
did you remember the certain things that they did? Like, give me an example of what kind of things they did.
I'm trying to remember. They did a bunch of things. Mm-hmm. For speech, I think they had me like repeat back words that they had said.
Yeah,
like they would say seven random words and yeah. I had to repeat them after. I think that was probably my least favorite to do.
Oh, because I was so bad at those too, because like, even so, what they would do for me is they would ask those questions, you know, uh-huh. they would tell me five words and I need to respond. But the thing that made it a lot harder was after they told me those five, six words, then they would tell me a whole story.
Yeah, bro.
And then they would tell me, and then they would ask me, "So what were the five
yeah,
words?"
Yeah.
Oh my goodness gracious. I was able to answer those questions when I was before my accident, no worries at all. But when they asked me those things, and probably for you too, when they asked me those things, I had no idea those five words that they said. And yeah. it was very crazy for me. I was kind of like, in that moment, I thought to myself, I'm a completely different person though.
Yeah.
Like I don't think, you know, I gotta get myself back to where I'm at. But the thing that, you know, I picked up at those couple months, you know, in recovery and everything was I'm a different person now.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you know what? Maybe someone tells me a story in the future, and even now in the future, I'll probably have to take notes on it
yeah.
for me to remember yeah. it, you know? And, but for me going through that process, I never took notes. So for me, when they would tell me, "Oh, Ethan, take notes so you remember it," I would always tell myself, "Remember the past, Ethan. If you could remember those words in the past, you could train yourself to do it more." But now I'm realizing, of course I could train like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, let's think about myself right now.
Mm.
And I got to take notes. And even now, I'm not good at taking notes. Yeah. When someone tells me something, I probably got to ask them again probably 3 or 4 times, you know? But yeah, that, you know, the cognitive ability to remember, it was very difficult for me. And same goes to you, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, and also too, bro, like it was kind of hard for me after my first surgery because after my first surgery, my whole left side was paralyzed. So
really?
Yeah, waking up, like I was trying to move my left leg and arm and I was like, it felt impossible. And I was in my head in that time, I was like, no way, like, am I really paralyzed on my left side right now?
So did the doctors, you know, mess up something or?
Well, they didn't mess anything up, but what my neurosurgeon would tell me and my mom before me going to the operating room was that like, are you sure, like, you want to do this because, or not sure, but like she would just always give me and my mom just warnings, like, just know every time I'm going in your head, like there's like a million neurons in your brain and I can mess it up with a poke or anything.
Yeah.
I can mess everything up going in your brain. So, yeah, she would always tell me and my mom that every time, before me going into operating room. And yeah, after my first one, I was paralyzed and it took me a while to kind of regain that strength.
Yeah.
But I was grateful to regain it, you know, at the same time. Yeah.
That's something that, you know, I didn't really know until I got out of the hospital was with an injury to your brain. If, you know, in my stance with the car, getting hit by a car, that could have really destroyed so many abilities in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm so blessed to say that when I woke up in the hospital, the only thing that happened was, well, two things. Half my skull got fractured. Oh. And two, I can't hear out of my right ear. Mm. Oh, well. If you remember the... Never mind. Hopefully you didn't say that. I didn't hear that. All right. That went back to the two truths and a lie. Don't rewind and then listen to that. With that being said, you know, I'm just so blessed that with all those neurons and... the littlest thing could happen and you could lose that ability. Yeah. That's something I had no idea about when I was younger. Yeah. I had no idea that brain injuries, I thought the only thing that you could get is a concussion. Mm. But oh man, there's so much more than a concussion. Much more.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, and like we were saying, you know, it's something that, you know, the littlest thing could happen and you could lose your ability to walk. You lose your ability to talk. Mm-hmm. So many things. And I'm so blessed that we're able to walk up those stairs, sit down and have and talk.
Yeah.
Like just that sentence right there. It might seem like the most simplest sentence I've ever said in my life. But for us, when we really think about it, we're like, oh my goodness gracious. Like this is absolutely amazing, you know? And again, with your recovery process, you know, you're here, you're playing soccer, you know, and was there anything else that you went through during the recovery process that, you know, always just stayed in the back of your mind and you kind of remember it?
I would say for me, bro, like the only thing I wanted to do, honestly, was just during that time was like just play soccer and be with my teammates.
Yeah.
Because I just, in my mind, like it was summer, so like I was grinding, you know, putting in work for that season that I was gonna play. But you know, obviously things changed, so all I wanted to do was just be with my teammates and, you know, just be with my family and friends and, you know, just do what I used to be able to do before.
Yeah,
you know, but like you said earlier, like you wake up and you kind of realize like you're not really gonna be the same anymore.
Yeah,
you're a changed man now.
Yeah,
you know. And yeah, people always ask me, like, people always tell me, like, oh, like, you're so lucky. You are so lucky that you came out of this well and alive. And I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I don't mind people telling me that. But I always love to remind them, like, it's never luck. It's always God, man. Like,
amen.
You always have to put God first and you always have to give him the glory. And, I feel like, bro, during that time, like, the amount of pain I was feeling, it was pain that I've never felt before in my life. Yeah. Physical pain, emotional pain, and I just kept thinking about like for me, what kept me going and what kept me pushing through and what kept me wanting to fight for my life was just thinking about Jesus, like just thinking about what he went through for me.
Yeah.
On that cross, like the pain I was feeling, like it's never going to be like, it's never going to be near what Jesus went through for me, you know? Amen. So that is what pushed me to get through my pain and just the way I was feeling, honestly.
That's so sick.
Yeah.
That's amazing because, like I was saying to you, you know, when my accident happened, I always kept a positive mindset. Yeah. I did. And I remember it was a couple months, like a couple weeks after I got out of the hospital, one of my friends, Char, what's up, Char? Hope you're doing good. She asked me and my previous girlfriend, my ex, if we wanted to go to church with her. And I was kind of hesitant with it because I used to go to church a lot when I was little. I was an altar boy when I was little. And kind of when it was middle school, high school, I kind of told myself, all right, well, you've been to church a bunch, and so you should be fine.
Yeah.
How dumb of a sentence that is. but I went to church, and something really hit me, and it was just kind of like when I walked into those doors, and you know, the pastor started to speak, and he started to share his testimony and share his word. I started crying, mm-hmm. and I was crying because I was just like, Lord, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, and I could say, thank you to the first responders. Thank you for my neurosurgeons because they deserve all the praise too.
Yeah.
But at the same time, not even at the same time, but my Lord and Savior was right there through it.
Yep.
He was there on that day. And when I was crying, I prayed and I just said, thank you, God, for just keeping me here. And ever since that day, I have maybe a few. I've really been to church every single week. I read the Bible every single day, and honestly, it's very, very relieving for me. It's something that when I read those stories in the Bible and hear His Word, it just makes me feel so good about myself because I tell myself, He's the person who saved me right now, and He saved so many people back in the day. But He constantly saves, and He saved you, and He saved me, and. Oh, He deserves all the praise.
Yeah, man. It's crazy how you bring up church and the Bible and all this stuff because honestly, bro, like, obviously we're not perfect.
Yeah.
We live in sin.
Yeah.
Every day, whether we accept it or not, we do.
Yeah.
But I bring this up because before my brain surgeries, like, I wasn't living, like, I guess... I wasn't living.
No, I know what
you're saying. Christian life, or a believer in Christ.
Yeah,
but going through what I went through, and obviously you as well, like it changed your perspective and it changes your life. And I feel like that's what God wants when we go through these things. He doesn't put us in these situations, but He allows them to happen.
Yeah.
So only that, so we can grow.
Yeah.
And get closer to Him.
Amen.
That's what He wants, and. It's crazy you bring up the Bible too, because like, man, like my relationship with God like has drastically grown ever since that event that I've been through. And I can relate to Job a lot in the Bible.
Yeah.
Job, he lost his wife, his cattle, everything, and he stayed faithful through all that stuff, and God gave him double the amount he had before. I really appreciate you bringing up God and your relationship and how what you went through brought you closer to Him.
I mean, like, before we get moving on into our conversation about soccer, how you said a Bible verse with Psalms. One of my favorite Bible verses, and I put it in my phone and my notes, and I always get the alert every day.
Yeah.
It's Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. Mm. And always submit to Him, and He will make your path straight.
Mm.
Just when I heard that, that proverb when I was going to church for the, I think it was like the third or fourth week when I went back. And I heard that and I was like, oh my goodness, thank you, God. Just that, just trust in the Lord with all your heart. And the one verse that, the one line that it says, and I didn't really connect to it when I was younger, and lean not on your own understandings. And always submit to him and he will make your path straight. Mm. Of course, we could think we know everything, but let's be real. We are not going to know every single thing in our life. No. And we got to put that, you know, that faith and that belief that, you know what, the Lord's going to be right there with us and he's going to help us know and, you know, understand what he wants from us. And, you know, from what Malachi said, you know, he's on that journey just as well as me, but, you know, we're not quite there yet.
Yeah.
You know, we are always growing. We're always learning new things, but as long as we got the our Lord right by our side, oh, we're going to be fine.
Yeah.
We're going to be fine.
All you need, bro, is God and you know, just always go to Jesus every time you need anything. Seek him in the good times, seek him in the bad times.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. So,
all right, well, that I'm blessed, you know, we both found, you know, return to God and, you know, give him thanks. And so with that being said, we're going to move on to soccer because Malachi, something that I was not able to do, but I still play pick up in some indoor. But Malachi is still playing at Cal State San Marcos, which is absolutely huge. I remember the day when PT Becky – she texted me and she said, hey Ethan, we have this new patient, he's a soccer player, it would be so amazing if you came over and, you know, just introduced yourself to him. Mm. I was like, yeah, I mean, he's a soccer player, yeah, of course. Yeah. So I walked in and you were sitting on that side table.
Yeah.
And I walked in and I was like, hey, are you Malachi? And he's like, yeah. Are you Ethan? Because I'm pretty sure Becky told him that I was gonna come in. But the one thing that, you know, that instantly connected us was me knowing that he played soccer. And another thing, come on, he's an Arsenal fan. Come on now. That's massive. Come on. But that really, you know, he became my best friend after that, you know. But yeah, we're going to, you know, I want to know, you know, how – because you're already on the soccer team, right?
Yeah.
And how did they react to your injury and what did they do to help you, you know, get back on the team?
Actually kind of going back, so the day that I went to the hospital, yeah. I was supposed to hang out with my best friend, Steph, my teammate. And, I didn't hang out with him. I was in the hospital. So, I think Steph either texted my coach, like, hey, like, is Malachi okay? And, my coach, I don't think knew, yeah. But I think my mom, I think sent my coach a text. About the news, and so Ron sent a text to the group chat talking about what happened to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it was weird, bro. Like, I thought really nobody knew other than my mom,
yeah. 'Cause
my mom was there for me, like with me. But kind of going forward, yeah. So that's how my team found out, was through my coach. And, yeah, some of my teammates actually visited me throughout the hospital,
that's so cool.
A couple of times. And too, bro, it's weird because, like, going through something hard like that and traumatic, you really, and you can obviously relate to this, mm-hmm. you really can tell who the real people in your life are.
Yep.
You know, when you're down in a deep hole in life,
yeah.
you know who's your real friends and who's your real family going 100%. Through that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was crazy, man. And, but kind of just going forward, yeah. So honestly, like, I give big thanks to, like the sports, directors,
yeah.
Jason, Murad, my coach, Ron, Matt, and honestly, the NCAA, 'cause, during that time I wasn't playing soccer, yeah. But there's a rule where you had, in order to receive scholarship, you had to be a full-time, you had to take full-time classes,
yeah.
And be a student athlete.
Yeah.
But obviously during that time, I couldn't be an athlete,
yeah.
And I couldn't take full-time classes. I can only take one class because I tried taking four classes, but it was too much for me.
Yeah.
Kind of like we said earlier, you kind of coming out, you feel like you can do the things that you used to do
yeah.
before, but it's like No, like you can't. Yeah, you can't. Yeah. Like, your brain is literally like recovering. Like you need to rest.
Yeah.
So doing everything, like it took every like bit of energy out of me. So I was always just tired and just always wanted to take naps throughout the day. But yeah, I mean, the NCAA, my coaches, the sports directors, they all helped me kind of get me back on my feet as to being eligible for the spring of 2024, just being able to be around the team at least too. So yeah, I was really grateful for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so sick because with that being said, with your scholarship, the thing that happened with when I was at USK, my old college, was that when I was injured, same thing with I needed to be a full-time student. Yeah. I needed to, be at the games, be at every practice and everything like that. But I'm blessed that my coaches, DJ and Coach Brad at USK, they told my parents when I was in the hospital, no matter what happens, if Ethan plays or doesn't play, he's going to receive a full-time scholarship, for the USK. Mm-hmm. And when I heard that, I was like, I was grateful. I was so grateful that, I would still be on the scholarship. They still really took care of me.
Yeah.
And it was to the point where even when my mom told me that, even if you play or don't play, they're still going to give you that scholarship. Yeah. That's I'm so blessed for that, because really as a college coach, oh man, I feel like no matter what time of the year it is, they're looking at players for the next season.
Yeah, they are. They're always recruiting.
Not even for the next season, for 2 years in advance.
Exactly. Yeah.
So with that, with everything they're going on with the players and everything, and remembering me as, someone that they got to look out for.
Yeah.
I thank you guys so much for that. And same thing goes for Kai, because Malachi, because you go for you by Kai or nah?
By Kai.
Kai.
My little cousins call me Kai.
Okay. I'll call you Malachi. My God. My bad. It's because I have two boys on my team called Kai, and so to avoid confusion, I call them Thing One and Thing Two. And they agreed with that. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. But it's nice knowing that Cal State really had your back through the whole process. And so with that being said, when you were able to, tell me that, when was the day when they told you, Malachi, you could go on and play again?
Bro, so I remember the email I got from the sports director, Jason.
Yeah.
Jason Stock. He sent me an email saying, like, congratulations, like, the NCAA approved all your paperwork and exempling.
You know what I'm talking about? Something like that. Yeah. We'll keep it like that.
They accepted, let's just say, all my paperwork and everything. So he sent me an email saying, congratulations, you'll be able to play in the following spring and practice with the team and just be back on the team. So I was so happy. So that fall of 2023, after that semester, man, I was just working hard, man. Like, just getting back to my recovery, going to sports, physical therapy, just trying to get my body, my mind, just kind of back to that athletic mode.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was very, I'll be honest with you, a lot of people, and you can probably relate to this, a lot of people don't really understand that what we went through, man, like, it's not just physical, but it's mostly mental, man.
Oh, 100%.
It's very mental. And I'll be honest with you, I'll be straight up. When I got out the hospital, I felt ugly, man.
Yeah.
Inside and outside.
Yeah.
I felt really ugly and discouraged. But just knowing and having the friends and the family and the prayers that were behind me and for me, man, like, it changed my perspective. And I knew, like, dude, like, literally my job got settled taqueria in Carlsbad. My manager actually helped me and my mom with the GoFundMe.
Oh, that's so
sick. So literally, like, just people, just seeing all the love around me and just seeing all the love that people were giving me during that time, like, it was really really encouraging and really inspirational.
Yeah, no, what happened for me is, in order for, because everyone was asking everyone in my family what's going on with me, and so what my mom did was she made a, what's it called? It wasn't a GoFundMe. Continue what you're saying. Continue what you're saying again.
Yeah, man. So yeah, I mean, just going through something traumatic like that, it just you know who the real ones are.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful for my friends, my teammates, my family. And I want to read something. My teammate Justin, he actually sent me this, and he said like it reminded me of him. It reminded him of me. It says, "But if you allow God to translate your adversity into a ministry, then your pain becomes someone else's gain."
Amen.
The more problems you have, the more potential you have to help people. So for me, reading that, I was like, dang, like going through what I went through and going through what you went through, we can help so many people, not just to tell our story, but to tell the story of Jesus and his goodness.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is a healer. He healed us both. We're alive. We're doing well. And that's the main point I want, was when I tell my story. I want people not to only hear my story, but I want people to see Jesus and hear Jesus's story as well.
100%. Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. I feel like the one thing that actually, you know, helped me keep going in my injury was after going back to home and, you know, knowing that it was God that was right by my side. The one thing I feel helped me get through the recovery process and, you know, everything was being a soccer player.
Yeah.
In the sense of every time I was on a soccer team, every time I was on just with teammates, I didn't want to let them down. And I always had a coach around me. And so whenever the doctors would come in and say, "Oh, Ethan, I think you could start doing this in 2 more weeks," or, "Oh, you could start that in a few days," as soon as they said a few days, a few more weeks, I said, "Nah, this is going to be in a couple of days.
Defy the odds."
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm so blessed that I grew up as a soccer player, and I'm so blessed that, you know, I had those coaches that taught me, you know, they're in life, it's not always going to be fun and games. In life, you're going to have to, you know, take things that you don't want to take, and you need to, you know, learn how to get through those things and keep that positive mindset.
Yeah, growth mindset.
Exactly.
Growth mindset, yeah.
And I, you know, going on to, you know, your recovery process, at least for me, when I was going at Scripps, there were some patients that, you know, you could tell that they didn't really want to be there. Mm-hmm. They just kind of, "Oh, I need to be here because, you know, I got to do it." But it was, at least for me, when I would go to therapy, I would always just bring a smile on my face. At least, I mean, the first day, I didn't know how it was going to be. So I was kind of nervous, I'll be honest. But after that first day, I knew those therapists were always trying to help.
Yeah.
And after that, I would always show up with a smile on my face, say what's up to everyone, and, you know, have conversations with those people that, you know, I could tell weren't really having a good day. And just, I feel like after we had that conversation, I feel like, at least for me, in the sense of, I felt like, all right, that person smiled. That smile right there, that just told me so many things about them. Because what that shows me is that made their day. Because after that, you know, after my injury and everything, every time I go to like the grocery store, every time I go out and just like I'm paying for something or checking out, whenever the cashier's helping me out, and, you know, they're just doing it with, like, you know, looking like this and put this down. Yeah. I always say, like, "How's your day going? Like, let me know how you've been." And the cool thing that happens is they start smiling after. And it's kind of like those people that are in, you know, working their jobs and, you know, especially with us going to get back to how we used to be and, you know, get through the injury. It's hard for us because we tell ourselves, I used to do this. Mm-hmm. Like, why can I not do this anymore? Like, this is annoying.
Yeah.
But the one thing that, you know, I did every time was when I knew I couldn't do it, I told myself, I'm going to do this again. Like, when, instead of thinking, I can't do this, I used to do it, I would tell myself, I can't do this right now, but I used to do it. And I, that means because I know I used to do that, I could get back going.
Yeah.
And just having that mentality of just positive mindset and positive growth, all that helped me so much in my recovery process, man. You know?
Yeah, man. I mean, what's the Bible verse? John 3:16. Uh-huh. All things are possible through Christ. Strength. Yeah, man. It's everything is possible.
God so loved the world that he changed his only begotten son.
Yes.
Whoever believes in him shall never die but have eternal life. Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Oh, man. There's some verses that just like, the thing that I realized is like some Bible verses hit different.
Yeah.
In the sense of, I grew up with that Bible verse. Mm-hmm. I remember going to church and they made songs about John 3:16, and I was like, yeah, cool. He sent Jesus over here and we're fine. Uh-huh. But now that, you know, after my injury and I read that verse and I was like without that, I wouldn't be healed. Without that, I wouldn't even be on this earth right now.
Yeah.
And oh man, all praise goes to God.
Yeah,
amen.
Man. Yeah, amen.
Amen. All right. So going off from soccer, just to school. So kind of we trying to talk about that, how you guys, you got kind of tired and, you know, fatigued easily.
Yeah.
And, you know, same with me. That was the first time where, you know, I told myself, this is crazy, but I'm going to go take a nap. I never took naps when I was younger.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I always had that, all right, go mentality, you know? Yeah. And so when I told myself, I was okay with myself, all right, you could spend that time taking a nap. I was telling myself, oh, Ethan, you can't because you'd waste your day. You'd waste so much time in your day. But it was necessary for me to do it, you know?
It is necessary, especially, like, going through what we went through. Like, I remember, like, the therapist telling me, like, don't overload your schedule.
Yeah.
Like, take breaks in between. If you feel tired, take a break. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
You know, like you just went through something traumatic. Your brain is still healing. Your brain needs rest.
Yeah.
Like, take naps, take breaks when you need, you know?
Yeah. But because we never did that when we were little, we told ourselves, no, but again, reminding ourselves of our old time, but I didn't do that. I don't need to do that anymore. Yeah. No, you got to do that now.
Yeah.
You know, and I totally agree with you. I feel like just our lifestyle was changed. Mm-hmm. And especially for you, not even especially for you, you're able to cope with, you know, so many things, you know, school, soccer, all those things. So congrats to you. And, you know, just keeping that positive mentality of, you know, I'm going to work through this. I'm going to get through it. But at least for me, I realized, you know, like I knew that playing college soccer, especially being, I know, 5'5" goalkeeper, I knew college was the last time I was going to play. Mm. You know, and I'm not saying, you know, I play indoor, I play pickup every now and then, but I knew that was going to be the last time I played at the highest, you know, and the thing that happened was when I went back, I would go to training, I wouldn't train, I would just kind of be around them, and the coaches would kind of, you know, help me in and just kind of just stand there or ref.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would do those things. And there was a point where I would start to train, but it wasn't that I didn't get an okay with it. I did get an okay with it, but my doctor didn't want me to play in the games because let's be real, the other team doesn't know I have that injury. Yeah. You know, anything could happen. Yeah. But, you know, it was amazing because USK, the coaches at USK, they, you know, they invited me back to training and they told all the players, hey, take it easy on him.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that kind of made me feel, all right, it's time to stop, was knowing that for the people that know me, like the people, because when I went back to USK, all the people that were on that team, I played with them the season before.
Yeah.
And at least for me, the one thing that I had in my brain was, I mean, not in my brain, just in my mental state was, I'm not going to be the same player I was.
Yeah.
And not in the sense of I gave up. Mm-hmm. It's more of, I don't want to be that person where the other players need to realize, oh, we can't put pressure on him like that. Mm. Like, because what I think is, if you're playing at a college level, you play to your above and beyond.
It's a high you know? Intensity, high level.
And you know, when I came back to training, it was off season, so it was postseason. It was off season, so it wasn't. They were training for games and everything. Mm-hmm. Of course, we've had games, but it was a little lighter. Mm-hmm. So I was able to join in those practices and still do the goalkeeper practices. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I realized was like, it's going to take me a while to I didn't give up on it because I would still go to practice and everything, but. The one thing that I told myself was, I don't want these guys to be waiting on me to get better.
Yeah.
Because college.
Yeah, you don't hold people back.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because college, like we were talking about, coaches are looking at players that are going to come 2 years from now.
Yeah.
They have that in their mind already. And I didn't want to be that person who kind of delayed that. Mm. You know? And the thing that was amazing was when I was injured and I got injury. Kind of with you, I want to get back to soccer. Mm. I remember I had to stop. I was going to begin coaching that year, but I couldn't coach that year because I got hurt. And every time that I was talking to my mom in the hospital when I regained my consciousness, I would ask her, how are my boys doing? Mm. And like, how are they doing in their league? Like, how are they doing in that? Because I just had that, like, that eagerness to go back on the field. But the thing that I found out from coaching, because like I said, I was going to be a coach and I'm a coach now at City SC in Carlsbad, but it showed me a whole new perspective of soccer in the sense of I don't need to be on the pitch to show to other people how much I love the game. Mm. And it's so amazing being a coach now and, taking the things that I learned and helping kids grow and become the best version of themselves. Yeah. And it makes me feel so good. It makes me feel like I saved a penalty when I see a player do a skill move that we worked on at practice. Yeah. It makes me feel so good. Yeah. And I'm honestly blessed that I got hit by that car because it showed me a whole new perspective of life. And same goes to you, and it's just one of those things where, after this injury, we have a whole new perspective of just how we live our life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course it was pretty bad what happened to us, but at the same time, I'm so blessed that it happened.
Yeah, me too, man.
Because without that, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now.
Yeah, especially mentally too. And it
100%.
At the end of the day, like, God cares more about your character than your circumstances.
So amen.
For us, like, especially I know for you, like, your character has grown, my character has grown, and our perspectives have changed. And we have gotten closer in relationship with God.
Yeah.
And that's what he wants.
Man. The thing that I talk to my grandma all the time about is that's what God writes all of our stories for us.
Yeah.
And like you said, he doesn't want us to go through these injuries and all these things, but at the same time it's kind of like He wants us to turn around and look at him again.
Yeah, yeah.
And our injuries are a way that, he let that happen because he was like, I know that would probably hurt him in that moment, but at the same time, he's gonna be able to see me again. So thank you God for allowing me to get hit by the car. Thank you God for allowing Malachi to go through his injury because man, we know that you're right there with us. Yeah, so thank you.
Yeah.
So with that being said, after we talked about soccer, school, plans after college, what are you focusing on doing after you graduate from college?
Yeah, man. So after I graduate, I'm going to go straight into firefighting EMT. So I'm going to get my EMT. And then from there, I'm going to go to fire academy. And then from there, I'm going to apply to different stations. It's crazy, man, because God is just amazing. But I had a talk. I have a friend who's a fire chief.
Yeah.
I have a friend who's a fire captain in LA.
Yeah.
And then I just had a talk with the fire chief of Vista a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we sat in his office and we just talked about just the plans. We just talked to man and he was just telling me just finish school, focus on soccer, and then when you finish school, that you can start the EMT process and stuff. So yeah, man. I mean, I'm so excited for my future and what God has in store for me. So,
amen.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, are you able to do that after going through your injury? Like, did they talk to you about that? As if like it'd be some kind of, you know, something that, you know, puts it off a little bit.
I think the only thing that would maybe have kind of, I guess, crushed my dreams of being a firefighter and even playing soccer was if they were in the hospital were to put a VP shunt in my head. Basically, like, it's like a little, I think it's like a metal thing that connects to your stomach, to your head, that helps the spinal fluid to recirculate.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was a problem. But I just thank God that they didn't put that into me, because if they did, I wouldn't be able to play soccer nor be a firefighter.
Yeah. What what was it again? Do you remember?
What did I just say? VP shunt. VP shunt. Shunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, VP shunt. Yeah, I'm trying to think if I ever had that. I don't think I ever, they put that in me, but I remember I had a catheter.
Uh-huh.
Is that similar to a catheter?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
All right,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the thing, another thing that, you know, I was talking to my mom about after my injury was I wanted to go to the Army.
Really?
I did. Mm. And it was just kind of like, I was thinking, you know what? I'm still here. Like, let me just serve. Like, yeah, let me give thanks, like, not give thanks to them because of their help for me. No, I'm not saying they helped me out with that. I know the Army completely different from doctors, but I just wanted to, you know, give my thanks. And I instantly thought the Army, but the one thing for me, what I want to do is I want to go back to Scripps, mm-hmm, and I want to be a physical therapist or an occupational therapist or speech and help people with brain injuries. Because with this podcast as well, you know, I really started this, and Malachi was talking to me about this as well, but we have a story to those who are suffering from a TBI, and, you know, being able to express these things and, you know, share our, you know, our stories, it really shows to everyone that you can make it. You know, that's something that I was looking for when I was going through my injury was, all right, is there any podcasts about this, or does anyone talk about this that I know? And I couldn't really find anything. And as soon as I got out of therapy in the hospital, not even therapy, the hospital, mm-hmm, I told myself, I want to do this because I want there to be a voice for the voiceless,
mm-hmm,
you know, because again, I had no idea what a TBI was until, you know, I got hit by a car. But we have a story.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to bring people in like you that, you know, share their story and, you know, help those who are in need of a voice to be talked to. You know, not talked to in the sense of, oh, sit down, I'm going to be telling you, but more of just be that voice for people that don't have that voice. You know, and I feel like, you know, what you've been through and your ability to keep on going with soccer, keep on grinding, keep on doing these things, that shows that you are what kind of person you are, what kind of character you are. And it's oh man, there's no words that describe you. And honestly, it's just, it's so amazing to get to know you and to, you know, of course, you know, a little Arsenal bling. Come on, come on. But at the same time, it's so cool to know those people that have been through these injuries. And that's again, when we were talking about, you know, you felt ugly when you came out.
Yeah.
The thing that I felt when I came out of the hospital was, how do I talk to my friends? Like, because you said you get to know who your real friends are.
Yeah.
And in the sense, I was thinking, well, not thinking, this is what happened. When I got back from the hospital and I would go hang out and see people, they would always come up to me and ask me, tell me if this ever happened to you. Oh, Ethan, how are you? Is everything okay? Like, are you good?
Mm-hmm.
Like, did that ever happen to you?
When I went back to the hospital?
No, like when you got out of the hospital, uh-huh, and you saw friends that you haven't seen,
uh-huh,
where they walk up to you, hey Malachi, how are you doing? Like, is everything okay? Like, would they talk to you like that?
No, I think they're more like, honestly, most of my friends that would visit me, like, I think they were more excited to see me.
Yeah.
You know, more than anything, like just very energetic. And obviously, like, I was never really, I wasn't there yet.
Yeah.
I was just still on their medication.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, hey, what's up, bro? Like,
yeah. No, and that, with that being said, the reason why I say that is because when certain people would do that, I thought to myself, of course, thank you for, you know, walking in and, you know, not being so like, like checking in with me, but take me as like how I was.
Yeah.
Like, why are we changing it up now? Yeah. And of course, like I said, thank you guys for, you know, for always just making sure I was okay. But at the same time, I feel like other people too, they don't know how to communicate that to them.
Yeah.
You know, how to talk to someone that just was in a pretty severe accident. Mm. You know, they don't know what to do. And I feel like even those who are listening right now who are suffering from this, I went through that too. I know there's some people that are going to come to you and be like, hey, like, how's everything going? And it's going to happen at first. And I needed to be okay with it. But in the back of my mind, I know you guys are thinking that are going through that right now. I know you guys are thinking, why aren't they talking to me the way that they used to? It's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of time. But as long as you have that in the back of your mind telling yourself that they love you so much and they're just looking out for you, it's not like they're treating you like a little kid. I know that's basically what I thought, but they're looking out for you. And over time, they're going to start talking to you how they used to talk to you. But at first, it's a very hard thing for both the person that are going through the injury and those around you.
Yeah.
And like, but like you said, the one message that you said, and I agree with it, is you get to know who your true friends are.
Mm-hmm.
And I really did. I really did, because I remember, were your friends able to go into the hospital and see you?
Yeah, but only like in my room, only like two at a time.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, the others would be in the waiting room. Just waiting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because with me, and even though it was 1 year before, you needed to be, did you need to be fully vaccinated or no?
Not your year. They had to wear a mask though.
They had to wear a mask. Yeah. For me, you needed to be fully vaccinated in order to go in.
Wow.
And the thing that was so cool was my ex, Adriana. What's up, Adriana? We were playing collegiate soccer and at USK during COVID that year. That's when we started in 2020. And we needed to get checked in, get a COVID test every week.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. That's a pain. Like the waiting line is like an hour long. Like you're going to have to just stand there. But they told us, if you get vaccinated, you don't got to do those checks. And so even though I didn't know if the vaccination would really work. Yeah. I just thought, well, I don't want to have to wait anymore. So I'm going to get my vaccine. Yeah. And it was cool because I'm pretty sure my mom, my dad, my sister, and Adriana, they all had the vaccine, and so they were all able to come in. And those who didn't have the vaccine weren't able to come in. And so what they would do is when I got into the last room when I was staying, there was windows on the outside, and I could see the streets. And so even though some friends and family couldn't come in, they knew where my window was.
Yeah.
So at one time there was a moment when I got a call from, I think my sister, and she was like, hey Ethan, how are you? And I was like, good. What's up? She's like, look out your window. And I was like, what? She was standing right there with Adriana, and oh man, it was that. And you know, that made me feel so good. Mm-hmm. You know, even though they couldn't come in, they found a way to find me.
Yeah.
You know, and like, that really showed me who my real friends are and who my real family is, you know? And, you know, I'm blessed that, you know, we got to see who those people are, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just, I mean, last question for Plans After College, people who were influential in your journey.
Man, obviously the one above, God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. But I'd say, honestly, my mom and my Aunt Vanessa. My mom didn't leave the hospital at all. She stuck with me throughout all those days. And Vanessa, my aunt, she uh, She helped me and my mom. She stayed at my place, our place, took care of my dog. But yeah, I mean, those two people, Vanessa and my mom, really were my rocks.
Amen. You know, during that time. That's so sick. Yeah. It's so like, it's just so amazing knowing who those people are.
Yeah.
And I know it's a really, really bad circumstance for us to face, but we get to see who those real people are.
Yeah.
You know, and again, all glory goes to our Lord and Savior. But last topic of, because we went over his injury, his soccer, school, and plans after college. But right now, what are you thinking about this year for Arsenal? You think we're gonna do it or not?
I mean, we just signed a new player from Real Sociedad.
Yeah. What's his name? Zubimendi.
Yeah.
He's not bad.
I will see. I mean,
yeah, we'll see. What do you mean we'll see?
I mean, man, I feel like. 2 years ago, we got robbed a little bit in second place.
Well, what do you mean by robbed?
Like, I wouldn't say robbed, but we just messed up.
Yeah, it was on us.
Yeah, it was on us. But obviously, Man City just kind of goes. But I feel like now Man City's not the team they are that they used to be. Yeah. So hopefully we have a chance. But, man, these other Premier League teams are really good. You know?
Liverpool?
Yeah, Liverpool, man.
Signing
the guy from
Leverkusen.
Yeah,
what's his name? For Wurz? No, it's Frimpong.
Yeah, the winger, yeah.
Yeah, that outside mid.
He's good, man.
Oh, he's solid. But what do you think? Do you think if we sign Gyökeres, we're gonna have a good season?
Yeah, I hope so.
Do you see that he's willing to accept, he's willing to not get paid? I think he's willing to decrease his wage 2 million to go to Arsenal, but Sporting are not letting him go. Yeah,
that's crazy.
And so, I'm hoping. I really did. You hear about the Sesko stuff? Like the striker from Leipzig?
No.
Well, he's like 21, but I guess he's going for like they want like 100 million for him, 80 million. Dang. But Gyökeres is trying his best to come over. So please come over. We need a striker. I know. Kai Havertz is. You know, he did his best, but he's not a striker. He's a center mid. And so please come. And Rodrigo, please come. I'm talking like I'm hopeless, and I know we kind of are right now. But yeah, please win a title. Just one title. And please don't have it be the Community Shield, because I know we're not in it. But not even the FA Cup. The FA Cup would work. I know. I'm not one of those Arsenal fans where it's like, oh, we need to win the league or in the Champions League, or else I'm gonna be mad. No, I'm not like that. But just Arteta, you got your thing. Just do your thing. So like I said, the two truths and a lie. Remind everyone what you said.
So let's see. I'm a Patriot fan. I love Mexican food.
He works at a Mexican restaurant. He told us that.
And I'm Puerto Rican.
I think it's your mom who's Puerto Rican. I think you're not a Patriots fan.
I am a Patriot fan.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I'm not Puerto
Rican. You're not Puerto Rican. Dang. You're Mexican?
I'm half Mexican, yeah. I'm black and Mexican.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dang, I thought I had that. You're a Patriots fan? Yep. What made you be a Patriots fan?
Man.
Just having them win all the time? You're kind of like the Man City of football or what?
No, man. Dude, when I started watching, like, I don't know, I just would watch, like, Randy Moss and just those old guys, man. Like, they're Tom Brady, obviously, like, just goats, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's be real. Even though people hate on Tom Brady, he's probably the best of all time.
Yeah.
But I didn't watch football, so I would honestly, when I watch football, it's really just the Super Bowl. And the reason why I watch the Super Bowl is because the commercials are pretty funny.
Yeah.
For me, it was I can't hear out of my left ear because I got hit on my left. What else was it? I'm an Arsenal fan. And what was the last one?
You remember? I think it was I'm trying to remember. It was the last one. It was something.
It was oh my goodness. Why can I not? I mean, hey, that's our injury right there coming to play.
That's why I wrote notes. Hey,
that's right. I didn't take notes. But for me, If you remember what the last one was, I can't hear out of my right ear. So even though my accident was on the left side, the neurons that are attached to my right ear are on the left side, and the neurons that are attached to my left ear are attached to my right. So what happened was, even though I got hit on my left side, the neurons that are connected for my right ear, they got cut off. So I can't hear anything out of my right ear, but I could hear everything from my left. Kind of weird, but I got hearing aids that, you know, allow me to listen, that are Bluetooth. So I'll take it. I'll take it being, you know, half not being able to hear. But that's really much it. You have anything else to say?
Nah, just thank you, bro, for allowing me to have this opportunity to talk about my story and hear your story more as well. And like I said, like, the only reason why I want to tell my story is because I want people to not just see me, but I want people to see Jesus in my story. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. And you know, Malachi is such an amazing story, and I'm so blessed that he was able to come over here and, you know, do this podcast. And so thank you so much for doing this.
Appreciate it.
Seriously, you know, if you know anyone, I'm trying to get more people onto this. But again, Malachi was the first of many, hopefully many. So thank you so much for that again. And, you know, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Again, please leave a like, please subscribe. It means so much to me, knowing that you guys really care about this and are listening. And again, please just, you know, keep on commenting what you want to see, what you want to hear, just to let me know, you know, so that I know what you guys want, because at the end of the day, it's your guys' podcast, not mine. It's your guys's. So thank you guys so much for listening. There will be more episodes coming soon. Hopefully I get more people to come on, because I really like this connection, being able to talk to someone. It makes the conversation go a lot easier, yeah, you know? Yeah. But like I said, before we go, one last thing that I say at the end of every podcast, and it's pretty big for me. Remember to live every day like it's your last. And always keep that beautiful smile on your face, because you're here. You're right here.